Picture a family, 5 kids, super Irish Catholic. I'm the middle one. Born in Queens, but mom and dad took us out of there when I was 1 year old because they wanted to give us a life that was a little more bucolic. It was Connecticut, more bucolic and repressed. We had the typical Irish Catholic rules and mom was the enforcer. Be kind to people, go to church, remember that sex is evil. But we had one undercurrent that flowed throughout the whole family. We were constantly using each other to make some kind of laughter. Anything in your life, if it happened and it could be leveraged into laughter, it was fair game. We all lived in that and found relief in it, me probably to a fault. I turned it into my life's work. It started in first grade. I ran a small but very effective smear campaign, and I beat out Ed Potter for the role of the judge in the trial of Tommy Toothpaste. And there were other roles to follow with varying degrees of success. I could not handle it when directors would choose not to cast me. So it was with enormous relief that I discovered at age 19 the very mysterious and very democratic world of street performing. I poured everything into juggling and into that show, and I discovered that making people laugh is my passion. When I told mom and dad that I was quitting Boston University to take up street performing, they were less than enthused. And they were joined by that old Irish Catholic repressed voices in my head, which sounded something like, what are you, nuts? You can't do this. You're not good enough for that. You don't even know how. Are you crazy? Those voices were loud, but they didn't sound friendly. So I followed my dream. I poured myself into it. There were enormous screw-ups. I remember one time I was doing a homecoming in Connecticut, and I'm up on 3-foot stilts. I'm 9 feet high in a yellow suit. Getting the attention I crave so much. 3 juggling clubs in my hands, I walk to the center too quickly. And so I speed up my torso to catch up to my legs, and I do. And then I keep going past my legs. 9-foot face plant. Oh. 2 guys in a golf cart came and picked me up. That was the level of humiliation. That was nothing. My bottom, if you will, in performing came on September 23rd, 1987 at the Bridgewater Fair. I was so young and happy to be performing. There was a group of people, a lot like this, gathered around me, seated on grass because I had asked them to stop, watch my show, see what I have. They did. And I'm performing fire juggling, and I'm doing what's called undergrabs, brand new trick. Instead of waiting for the torch to come back, you reach up and grab that sucker left and right, and I'll tell you what, it's a beautiful trick. And then that freaking moment happened. That enormous mishap, this slight, little, subtle disconnect between hand and mind, where I'm reaching out to grab what I think is mine for the taking, and my hand hits the lit fire torch away from me into the seated audience. And I'm stuck. I have to catch the other two. I'm grabbing the other two, wanting so much to be dead. Knowing no good is going to come of this, I look and see it slowly falling down. Proof for everyone that I am a dummy. It falls. And of course it falls into the lap of an innocent, a 5-year-old girl, who screams, of course. Gets worse. I run over to help. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Mommy picks up the child, protecting her from me logically, gives me the steel glance and says 2 words, stay away. So I quit performing. I stopped. I began to hunt for forgiveness. I painted houses, no forgiveness and clean white walls. I mowed lawns, no grace and tidy grass. I walked around in self-loathing. Nothing for it. No cure. I went back to performing. I retired that trick. I would tell people before I lit the torches, move back. Terribly painful line that felt like comedy. Move back. I don't want anyone to get hurt like last show. Actual true line. Backed them all up. One question I kept asking without words for every crowd. Can you forgive me? Would you forgive me? Their laughter, their smiles, the money they threw. None of them answered that question, but they provided one thing, temporary relief. And I found out, when you've done something unforgivable, there's no point looking for forgiveness. The best you can do is look for moments of reprieve hidden inside your passion.